And let me call up Giorgio Sardo, the Senior Director for the Windows and Devices Group at Microsoft. Giorgio!
Thank you, Richard. Good evening. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Dev Intersection. Now, it's such a pleasure to start and kick this off. It's also fun to do an event in Las Vegas, because let's be honest, I think some of you probably wonder tonight, should we go to this keynote or the Cirque du Soleil next door, or the swimming pool, or use your corporate cards on the slot machines? You must have thought about this. Well, Cirque du Soleil, the show already started, so it's too late. You can go tomorrow. The swimming pool closed at 5. Oops. And on the credit cards, well, I'm not going to talk about policy. That's for you to decide what I think to do. But I promise you, I appreciate you coming here tonight. I promise you we brought quite a show for you tonight. In fact, we're going to talk about new technology in this keynote. We're going to talk about how new technology can help you building new type of experiences, enhance your experiences, and lastly, provide better value to your customers. The way we thought we would do it, it's a developer-to-developer conversation. So it's going to be all demo-based, all demos, and we have a lot of stuff here. And I'm going to cover, in particular, different type of scenarios. And we're going to talk about web, about LOB apps, about augmented reality, about bots, robots, about magic, a lot of things to talk. And we're also going to use a lot of technology that span from client, Windows 10, UWP, all the way to Xbox and cloud with Azure and cognitive services and bots. So we're going to connect all of these dots together. You cannot see it, but this is what's happening right now behind this table. This is all things and gears that we're going to use today. And one question that probably want, something that you might be interested to is take a photo to this slide. And in general, feel free to take pictures, tweet, do whatever you want in this keynote. Like, this is for you. But we're going to share all of the source code of the demos that I will show you tonight at this URL. So please take a note of this URL. This is where you will find all of the resources after the keynote. And also, if you sign up during this keynote to this URL, it's just like you put your name and email and you sign up, we're going to do a raffle. And we're going to we have a prize, a Surface Pro 3, that we're going to give at the end of this keynote here in this room. And we also have other prizes that we're going to raffle during this keynote. And lastly, everybody that signed up to this in this room, physically here, is going to get a free voucher to open a store account in the developer store, which is worth roughly $99, only for the people in this room. If you're watching this online, you're going to get the resources, but no prizes for you. Sorry. So let's get started. The first theme I want to talk about is web. And in particular, I picked media as an example of a common scenario. Here's the situation with web, right? The web platform is evolving very rapidly. I'm sure you're following like the trends of the framework, the client framework of the day. And also the cloud is evolving very rapidly. And at the same time, the native platforms on mobile are evolving. And so as a developer, you might often be in front of a question of, should I invest on web? Should I invest on native? Like, what's the right thing to do? And what I want to show you today is actually there is a convergence point between the two. You can actually do both together. So let me come here to my first demo. And the scenario I have is it's a website, it's responsive, with responsive design, so it's scaled nicely. It shows video, so it's a simple video player, etc. So here's my website. What if I want to take this website and turn it into an application? Well, let me do that step by step. Go into Open Visual Studio, create a new project, a new app. Here's the best part. Normally, when you write a website, you need to add code, right? That's our job as developers. In this case, it's so simple that you need to remove it. In fact, I'm going to select CSS, JavaScript, index, going to delete this. You're probably wondering, what the hell is it doing? Then I go to the package, I take the URL of the website, I pass it there, and as well as in the content URIs, I'm passing my URL, giving access to everything, I deploy to my local machine, boom, done. That website is now a fully flagged application. That was it. That simple. What do you think? If you only do this, you're doing it wrong. So everybody that clap, like, this actually is really bad. You shouldn't be doing this. Because if all you're doing is wrapping your website into an app, yeah, great, congratulations. The tools allow you to do that. But that's not why I'm showing you this. the beauty of this is now that this website is actually is running inside a native environment, a native host. And so from there, you can call into native APIs. You can call, in fact, any Windows UWP. So you can just add C# code, and you can bring your C# code if you want. Or you can add more declarations and background services. Like, you can go as, you know, crazy as you want in terms of enhancing this experience. And we've seen a lot of partners, a lot of developers doing this successfully in the store. In fact, this approach that I just showed you is called Hosted Web App. Hosted Web App. This is what we introduced with Windows 10 across all of the Windows 10 devices. One feedback we receive is, this is great, but what if I want to do the same thing on iOS, on Android, on other platforms? And technically, it's possible, although it's not as easy as I showed you. And so we've been working on a tool called Manifold.js. It's an open source tool. So here's the website of manifold.js.com. It's an NPM tool, so you just install it as an NPM package. And you can go there, and I'll show you briefly, actually, how it works. I have an NPM, already installed it locally, and I'm going to say Manifold.js. And then I'm just going to do /l debug so we can see the verbatim. Before I run this command, what's happening behind the scenes is that we're using a new specification in W3C to define web application. It's a new manifest file. In fact, let me show you that manifest first. This is the website taking offline. And what you see here is a JSON file that is that manifest that describes my web application. With a start URL, it has like information that you expect from a native app, like name, orientation, etc. The type of API access you want to give to the app, depending on which platform is running, and then other information like the details, how it's going to look in the native platform. And so Manifold is doing nothing else than taking that manifest file from the server and generating for you all of the stubs to have a hosted web app, a hybrid hosted web app on iOS, Android, on any other platform. How we do it? We're actually creating all of the complex stub using Cordova or using other polyfills, depending on the platform. So this is going to take a while. And so let's jump right there to the folder. And so here, the end output is actually this, where you can see your folders. This is the output of Manifold.js. And so if I go, for example, inside Android, you get 100 projects that you can open with Visual Studio or Android Studio. And it's just like all the plumbing for you. So it's ready to go, ready to deploy. As a web developer, you don't need to know the native code to run a hosted web app on other platforms. We do it all of that for you. So this is very cool. And this shows you how to build a hosted web app on other platform. The other thing that we've also been working on, and you might have heard these rumors that sometimes people say, oh, it's a web app, so it will not run offline. Right? You heard that. Or it will be slow at startup, and that's why I'm building a native app. That's not okay. Local package, so your application, when I show you Visual Studio, you can bring resources inside the package so that runs offline from the beginning. Or there is a new specification that we're also working with Google and others in the community called Service Workers. And what that gives you is an API as a developer to control the cache of your files, of what goes over the network. This specification is still in development, so it's not quite ready yet for production use. But I wanted to show you a sneak peek of how it works today, if it works. And I will do it actually in Chrome. Like, this is something we work, will be supported by all browsers. We'll come to Edge. I'll show you today a quick demo in Edge. So here's the website again, the same website. The only difference is I'm running on localhost. And the reason I'm doing this is because I'm going to simulate your web application going offline. This normally happens, when you have bandwidth issues or somebody unplugged the cable or somebody inadvertently touched the stop button on your IIS server, like I just did. And then when you run again the website, what do you expect? A 404 page, right? In this case, refusal to connect to the website. It's even more harsh than a 404 page. But let's start it again, and now I have my website running. So let's add service workers to this website. Going to go back to my code. And this is my index page of that website. And notice that I'm going to uncommit this area. and I'll explain you, walk you through the code. I'm basically checking if the browser supports service worker, then install, basically register the service worker, which is nothing else but a JavaScript file. And this JavaScript file, think about it as something that runs in parallel to your website and can do a bunch of things with the network. And then when everything is ready, show this beautiful UI that says that the user that can go offline, an alert. So let's take a look at the service worker JS file. And I'm doing three things here. At the top, I'm declaring the files that I want to bring offline. This is just an array list of all the files in the website that I want to cache offline. Secondly, I'm connected to an install event on my service worker. And the first time it gets installed, I'm basically fetching each of these files one by one, and I'm adding them to the cache. And then third, when my website, when my web application need to retrieve some file from the network, instead of sending the request to the network, first I route the request through my cache, and that's where I'm checking. If I find the file inside my cache, then just give the file from my cache. Otherwise, if it's not already cached, go to the network and fetch this using like a standard procedure. So let's run this code once in the browser. And what I expect now is the dialog that says, the service worker is installed. Great. In fact, let me open the developer tools. And you will see that when I refresh the website, it's actually refreshing and catching the files from the cache. It's not going anymore to online. It's just getting it from the service worker cache. And to test this, since I'm brave, I'm going to stop again IIS. Going to go back to my website. And now if I hit refresh and the service workers work, there you go. The website still works offline. That's the power of service workers. That's like how the web platform is evolving. Useful, right? You guys are quiet. Do you like this, sir? Thank you. It was very genuine. Thank you very much from you. So that's just an example of what you can do, where the web is evolving. Let me give you another example of something that is super important these days, and that's security, right? You all read the news last week of how your toaster probably or other IoT devices around the world got compromised. That happens every day, and security is an increasingly important topic that we need to take in consideration. And so we are investing in Microsoft across many layers of our products to improve the security of our products. And one thing we've been working on with FIDO is introducing a feature in Windows called Windows Hello. Windows Hello is what allows you to authenticate using your face or your fingerprint. And that's a better user experience, but it's also much more secure because we're able to store basically cryptographic keys in the TPM chipset or in the hardware, making it very, very hard to actually compromise that machine. And this technology is not just there for Windows. It's available to you as developers to implement in your apps as well as in your website. And so I will show you a quick example of how that works. So let me switch back to my machine. And I have here my personal bank, Bank of Contoso. That's the bank I use every day. And normally, you would just use username and password, right, to authenticate. And this can lead to issues, can lead to password leaks. What about using Windows Hello in this website? Well, going to sign in on the page, the website recognized that this machine, I'm running right now on a Surface Book, recognized that it supports actually Windows Hello. And so he asked me, do you want to start using it? Yes, why not? And it's prompted me to log in with Windows Hello. Notice the experience is very smooth. And that's it. Now I'm in the bank, into my bank account, and you can look exactly what I'm doing here. In fact, the next time, if I log out and I try again to sign in, it recognizes that I already signed up for Windows Hello, and so it's just going to ask me for the face, no password asked, and it just logged me in. That's the power of Windows Hello applied to our web applications. And that's all available today. This is all code that you can add to your website or your web application today in production. Let me show you the code behind this. And by the way, I'm using the face now, but you can actually use fingerprint. You can use any of the signature, even PIN numbers that are stored in the hardware. So the code behind, in this file, you will see one of the many functions that are new to the browser. And for example, in this case, is webauthn.makecredential. This is, again, another standard that we've been working with W3C and with FIDO. If you're familiar, FIDO is a consortium of companies that are looking at how to improve the security in the space. It basically allows you to create a secure account and then the right challenge and the right credentials and then pass it safely through the network and store the right information locally, et cetera, all of that. And because this specification is still evolving, what we've been working on is also a polyfill that allows you to implement the same on browsers that are not yet on the latest version. And so this polyfill you can see here, I'll share the resources at the link that I gave you earlier. But it basically maps the latest status of the specification in W3C. And it shows you basically what's happening behind the scenes in terms of how we create the credential, how do we pass the tokens, and all of that. So all of this, it's available for you to use today. And it will immediately improve the user experience of your apps, as well as, obviously, the security of your apps. These are just two examples of what you can expect next from the web platform and how you can leverage new capabilities in the web platform. I want to show you now a different type of example. And this is for an LOB scenario. Now, think about a line of business application this time. How can we apply these new technologies, new MPC to LOB? And to show you this, I'm going to invite on stage Pete Brown.
Thanks, Giorgio. Okay. Let me switch over. Great. So I have here a surface, there we go, with lots of wires hanging off of it. Excellent. A surface with an application here for, power went off. Let's try this one more time. I have a surface with the power off. There you go, Giorgio. Can you log into that surface for me, please?
With my face and with our hands.
Awesome.
Yes.
Thank you. That was an unintentional Windows Hello demo, so I think that worked out pretty well. All right. So I have here a surface, and it on here is an application from a partner that we've been working with named Bridgestone. And Bridgestone has over 35,000 managed fleets that that they work with, and they do over a million different tire inspections every year. And they've been looking at the types of experiences that they can use to make their developers or and their users more productive. And so, did I switch back over? We've built this application with them to make it so that they can use some of these new emerging experiences. Now, Giorgio, I'm borrowing your laptop here, so can you go ahead and sign me in there?
It's very secure.
There we go. Okay, good. Now, I'm going to take a look here at some of the fleets. I can look at this freight log. I'm going to look at, for example, one of my next or upcoming inspections. So I go through here, and there's a previous inspection, et cetera, right? That was a lot of taps to get through there. We all know when you're building a line of business application, you want to optimize that experience to make it so you can get through to your task as quickly as possible. So one of the first things that they've implemented in here is Cortana integration. So show me my next Bridgestone inspection.
Sure. Looking for your next inspection.
I guess you need my face again.
Giorgio, there we go.
After all, like I'm helpful sometimes. Oh, I'm not center, I'm not looking. I'm not tall enough. There you go.
There you go. Thank you. I don't normally borrow somebody else's laptop for this. Now, so they were able to use Windows Hello here, and part of the reason they're doing that is not so that we can look over somebody's shoulder and sign them in that way, but because if they have something like this in hand and they want to be able to work with the tires and be out there doing the inspections, they don't want to have to go in and sign in and go through that whole process. So here I have the form that we're going to use to do the actual inspection. So I'm going to look at this tire here, Giorgio. Do you see any defects in this tire?
Let me check. I actually took it from your car, so it's brand new, actually. It's really good.
Might need a ride home then.
Really good tire.
So here, let me fix that for you in here. Now we have a problem with that tire.
Ah, you nailed it.
Thank you. Oh, come on, folks. You need to laugh at that there. All right. It's okay.
It's Vegas.
Puns are great. So let me take a picture of this defect in the tire.
Are you sure it's a defect?
I think that is probably a defect. Thank you. All right. Now, well, I'm going to use inking here to annotate this defect in the tire. So in case you're the next person coming up and trying to see what's wrong with this and you can't actually see what the defect is, I'm going to circle it here so that's really obvious. And I can use, the ruler here, so I can use simultaneous touch, and I can say, the nail is probably going that way, right? So now I can actually draw a straight line, and I'm going to accept that. Now, I already got the pen in hand, so I want to be able to use this to fill out the rest of the data on here. So the pressure in this tire, given that it's off the rim, is probably pretty safe to say it's zero, but I'm going to say it's 100. And I'm going to say the condition here is good. Great. And it recognized those. Now, this is just one of the ways that a partner has been able to use some of the new and emerging experiences to be able to build innovative applications on Windows. Again, they're using UWP here, which lets them target all the different types of devices that they are looking to target, whether it be the desktop or a phone or a tablet like this.
Great. Now, when we build this experience, we actually found that some elements of this application were something that developers are looking for. And so we thought, instead of just building it for one partner, why don't we share some of this code? And the last, in particular, the last part of the application, where you see Pete writing on top of a text box with his pen, with his ink, we turned it into a control. And tonight, I'm going to show you like this new control that we're going to add to the UWP Community Toolkit in just a couple of weeks. I'll give you a sneak preview of how that works. So here's the scenario. I have a standard line of business application, like the type of apps that we all build, right, where there is an input request. As a developer, I always get very excited about this, right? That's how many of my apps look like when I'm building an RB app. You just need to do that, right? You just need to do input. Well, would it be nice if I could use my pen anywhere on the screen, and then the application was smart enough to translate that ink into my controls, my text boxes? And so let me stop the project. And if I go into the NuGet, you will see that I imported like a NuGet package from the Microsoft Toolkit UWP. This is a new toolkit that we introduced about in August, and we got tremendous participation from the community that are also contributing code to this project. And thank you for those that, maybe there is somebody in this room that helped us. Thank you very much. And so in particular here, I have a preview build of that. And the preview build gives me a new control. So when I go here and define my controls, I'm going to say controls equal Microsoft Toolkit UWP controls. And then you notice this is just XAML with a bunch of text boxes. Like this is just a regular app. And if I go here and say add an ink overlay as a wrapper, basically, to all of my grid. And notice there is no code behind in this page. There is no magic. That's the magic. That's all I need to do as a developer. And now those text boxes that you saw earlier are now pen and ink enabled. And so as I write on top of a text box, it will recognize my ink automatically. That's so simple. All right? So we're going to make this available through, well, I need to also write better, but that's another question. You know? And we're going to make this available through the UWP Community Toolkit. If you haven't seen it, like here's a quick example of the type of controls that we provide in the toolkit. And so it's out there on GitHub. You can just go and leverage it. We do a bunch of animations, controls, services. It's something that we hope is going to help you building applications. And if you want to contribute your controls, please, it's all open source. So we welcome any code contribution. All right. So this is just an example of how you can use more personal computing inside an LOB application. I want to show you another example. This time I'm going to marry not just the power of the client, but also take the client together with the cloud. And we're going to start looking at how can we use cloud services to augment the value of your applications today. And to just mix a bit and change a bit, I'm going to use an Xbox this time. So I'm going to switch to this Xbox. So on this Xbox, I already deployed, again, a universal Windows app. So you can see this is just like another UWP application, this time deployed to my Xbox. And this application is kind of mimicking a social scenario where you are collecting a lot of pictures, and then you want your app to have an intelligence over what's all this data that you're collecting. And so if I go to Photos, you're going to find some photos from my recent trips around the world. And so if I, for example, let's take this one that I captured here at last night, and I go here and I say, OK, recognize the context of this photo. It's going to say it's a bunch of food sitting on a counter in a store. This is what, you know, Cognitive Services is providing when they analyze this photo. And actually, you know what? It's very accurate. It's a very good description. This is like real. Like you can try it live today. I guess there is only one thing that maybe even as a human, with the human eye, you might have not noticed. This is not food, it's soap. So as long as you don't eat it, you're fine. But it looks so realistic that it's is actually like, I cannot blame Cognitive Services for not getting this. Let's try another one. So this is a demo that we're going to show you later again. So what the heck is this? A cat sitting inside of a car. It might also be a kitchen appliance, depending on what, I guess, which direction you look at this. Well, we're going to show you what this is exactly later. So we're going to come back to this. And so what I'm doing now is I'm using Cognitive Services on Azure to analyze in real time this photo and extract the context. This is not just for context. It's also about people. So let's go here. And this is a photo I captured with my team during the last build. Did I press the button? There it is. And so it recognized multiple faces. These were using like local APIs inside the Xbox, in this case inside Windows 10. They just recognize the face. That's the first good step. But what about if I want to tag one person? And so in this case, for example, I say, yeah, this is me. So this is Gio. And what I did right now, with that simple tag, I actually gave my name to Azure, associated with my photo. And Azure is creating like a group. It's training basically his network to say, every time you recognize a face that looks like me, so not beautiful, but looks like me, say it's Giorgio. And so let's try to go to another photo. This time I'll pick, I cannot, there you go. It's all live code, as I said. So this is no tricks. So I'm going to go to photos, and I'm going to go this time to, let's see, this one, the Build Tour Canada. When I say recognize people, I guess recognize a nice group of folks. We did recognize me. So something went wrong here, but it's my fault. So what you should have seen is it recognized my photo here, because my photo now is part of the training, and so it's all stored in the cloud. All right. It didn't like me. I told you, like, I wasn't great. So this is our example of, we've seen like example on the web, example on a tablet like Surface, example on an Xbox. I'll give you now another scenario. Sometimes you might just want to have some features in your application that are going to be like delighter to your users, are going to improve the user experience. And here's an example. Let's say that you want to have a marketing brochure. Either you're selling something or you want to have a brochure. And for now, I'm going to pretend that I'm selling both. So this is the Yoch magazine for developers. I'm sure that all of you are subscribed to this, right? And so let's say I want to sell you a boat, and these things are expensive. Can I convince you selling a boat with one of these pieces of paper flat like this? It's going to be hard, even if I'm a good seller. And so that's where technology comes in play. So let me switch to this other machine. What if I had an application that was able actually to take this content and bring it alive? And so let me do that right now. You're seeing here an application that I developed on this Surface Pro. It's using Unity, and it's using a third-party middleware called Vuforia. And what it allows me to do, notice when I overlay on top of the piece of paper, it actually brings the content alive. Now I have my boats, right? Not only does this, I can also select a boat. So I'm touching now my app, and I can bring a boat there. Look at this, the reflex. Now it's more compelling experience, right? Now we're talking. And what if I have a pen, right? It's a Surface. So I want to be able to customize my boat, and I want to be able to do it, you know, just with the power of ink and the tablet. And so I want to say, you know what? I need a window here. Let me type better this time. Windows. Done? There it is. So now with ink, I'm changing real time the model of the boat. This is good. It's missing one more thing. What's missing? It's in party mode. Let's do party here. Party. It's part of the boat, right? Okay. Now you get it. There it is. Thank you. Now, this is, of course, like just a demo. And you're probably wondering, well, okay, but there is a trick that's probably very hard to do, and it's been working on this day and night. And so I want to show you how to do it yourself in just a few seconds, in a few steps. And so this time I'm going to open Unity. Unity, if you're not familiar with it, is a very popular tool for 3D development. It's one of the most popular out there. So we're just using this. And I already imported inside Unity a plugin called Vuforia. And so I'm going to drop from the prefabs of Vuforia the augmented reality camera. And I'm also going to drop the image target camera, which is basically my marker. Like, this is a marker, right? This is how the augmented reality stuff gets overlaid. And then every time I recognize that marker, I want to show a prefab. In this case, I'm going to drop the rabbit. I want to show it there. And I want to add music into my image target. And notice that in the image target, I need to do one more thing here. I need to set up the database to the dancing rabbit. And so now I have a marker. I have a specific that has already been trained, and I can just overlay the rabbit on top of the marker that I have here. So if everything works, and it will, I'm not going to deploy this as an app now. I'm just going to use the debug mode of Unity. There it is, our rabbit. And it's back. I know it's too early for Christmas, but I couldn't do that. So it's that easy to get started. And the beauty of this is that, yes, you can do all the development, the 3D development using existing tool like Unity, but then the next step is you export it as a universal Windows platform app, and this is what I showed you earlier, which means that you can overlay XAML, you can overlay your own custom UI, you can write all of the code in C#. So it's actually quite easy to embed an experience like this inside your application, starting today. This is available today. I get very excited about this. Thank you. And this is just the beginning, right? This is an example of augmented reality scenario, but we're actually working on what we call Windows holographic platform. Our goal is to bring augmented reality together with virtual reality, mixed reality with HoloLens. This week, actually, we have a few sessions on HoloLens. I recommend you to watch them. I was looking at the outlines. They're very interesting. They're going to go through the user experience, going to go through some real world, you know, case study. And I'm going to show you here, just for brevity, our vision. So I will show you a video of where we see the Windows holographic platform moving in the future.
Sorry, Penny. This may be a bad time, but the client is on an earlier flight.
We're so not ready.
Should we start to panic?
Not yet. Just bring the team in, please.
I can see you're hard at work, Samir, but Penny needs your help.
Yeah, sure thing. Just let me check out this bunker real quick.
Samir, the client is on.
As per usual.
Kai-san, Penny ga yondeimasu kedo.
Imasugu ikute saite. Penny?
Hi. Cute.
I try. So, how's it coming?
It's not. This is the flagship store. It's gotta be unforgettable.
Yeah. All right. How about a change of scenery?
Welcome to Think Club. Inspiration comes from the most unfamiliar places. I made you, you are now me. Information sent, now lay down your heart of aces. What will be, will just be.
またギリギリなのね。 Impressive.
That's our vision for where augmented reality and virtual reality is moving forward. This is like the future that we're building. I also want to show you just a quick sneak preview of what we're working on with bots. And you're going to hear a lot about bots this week, because this is another channel to actually expose your content, your services. And so, Pete, welcome back.
Great, thank you. So one of the most, I think, recent and largest emerging experiences out there is this concept of bots, right? You're starting to see them everywhere. And again, they're actually going to be incorporated into several sessions this week, so it'll be a great time for you to learn about this. I have an example bot here. This is for an event called Bumbershoot, which is a Seattle music event. And in this event, in the past, if you attended that, you had to figure out where the different stages were, what was playing on different stages and different days. And you did that either by using an app where you had to scroll through and search through stuff in kind of a traditional way, or you went and just stopped somebody and talked at a booth and asked somebody, like, hey, when is this band playing on this stage? So we've implemented a bot here, though, where I can say hello, and I can look at events. And I want to look at music events here. And you can see it's using buttons to navigate through this just in Messenger. So this is one way to navigate through a bot. I want rock and pop, and I want to look at them on Saturday. And now it's going to return back a list of all the different rock and pop shows that are playing on Saturday. And I can scroll through these if I want. Now, if you notice here at the bottom, it also said, by the way, hey, I actually understand some natural language here. So I could type in, for example, show me the rock, pop, let me spell that correctly, pop shows playing on Sunday. Okay, and you see it says, here were the rock and pop shows that were playing on Sunday. Okay, so in that way, I'm able to find all this really great stuff just by using natural language. You can imagine you could dictate this using voice, or so you could just speak directly to it, or you could type this in yourself. Now, of course, music is not the only thing I'm interested in, so I could say I would like a beer, okay, because that would be really great. And you see the bot is smart enough here, as soon as our Wi-Fi, there we go, to show me the list of all the bars that are available at that event, because it was able to figure out beer bars associated, I'm able to go get a drink. Now, you might wonder, how does this natural language processing work, and how hard is this? And it's actually really easy to implement. So if I go over here to Lewis, which is our natural language service in the cloud, and if I go to Bumbershoot here, I have a couple of different what are called intents here in Bumbershoot. So this one is find shows is the first one here. So if I look at this very quickly, you can see up here find shows. And what an intent is it's kind of like a meta question that you might ask. It's something that the user is trying to accomplish. And you would associate a number of different actual questions with that, which we call utterances. So let me close out of that. I'm going to create a new intent, and say find beer, because I think that's a good intent. And I would say, I would like a beer. And I'm going to save that. So now I have an intent set up with one example utterance. Let me submit this. Select find beer and hit submit. Now this is, a neural network, right? This is using artificial intelligence in the cloud. One example of a question is not enough. So I need to add in several other utterances. So I could say, I would like some water. Okay. And I'm also going to associate that with this find beer intent, submit. And I could say, I am thirsty. I can also associate that with this intent. So with find beer, and I hit submit. Now, after a bit, this will train by itself, but we can train this here. Now, we've only got three questions here. That's not an awful lot for something like this to learn on, but it'll start to make some decisions based upon those three that we've already entered. So if I said now, I am very thirsty, and added that, you see here, Windows Plus, it figured that find beer was probably the most likely intent that would be associated with that question, and so I can submit that. All right. Now, as I had mentioned, we're going to have bots here in several of the different sessions. It is really a very exciting topic. It is very easy for you to integrate something like Lewis into your own applications to be able to do some very cool stuff. So I have, Matt has a session just on bots on Friday, and then I have an IoT session on Friday as well where I'm going to show how to integrate an IoT client with a bot like this. Great. And speaking of IoT.
Speaking of bots, what about, you might have heard this sound coming from backstage, what about robots? And so what we're showing you here is actually a real robot. This is something that our teams in Redmond has been developing just as a showcase of what's possible when you combine the power of, you know, client and Windows Priority with Azure. So Pete, why don't you describe what's going on there?
Sure. This is probably one of the strangest things you'll ever try to get through an airport. So this is a robot that's built on Windows 10 IoT Core. It's running an Intel Jewel processor board on there. And that is really very powerful. It has on it a quad-core Atom processor, plenty of memory, built-in Wi-Fi, built-in Bluetooth, and it's actually smaller than the size of my thumb, right? Super powerful stuff running Windows 10 IoT Core. Now, we also have a 3D printed body and stuff on here, but one of the things that's included in that is an Intel RealSense camera mounted up here. Because that board is powerful enough to be able to use the Intel RealSense camera, we've incorporated that as part of the demo here.
And so what I'm projecting right now, what you see on the side screen, is actually what's coming out of the device. So you see this cable is just like a network cable, so we can connect to it like without interferences. But what you see here, it's basically Windows for IoT running inside the device. Everything that you're going to see here is running inside the cat sitting on top of the car.
Yes, the
and
cat.
So one thing I can do from my console, again, this is a console running inside that robot, is start the app. And that will shut down the communication error message that you're hearing now. So you see my app starts. Let me bring this full screen. And now this is the app running. So it's ready.
OK. So you probably couldn't hear that, but it said, hi, my name is Bamboo. So hi, Bamboo. Bamboo, move forward. And let me stop you there, okay. So you might have seen what happened right there in front of the screen, where the Intel RealSense camera is able to figure out the depth. So you do some really, I'm gonna make a music video, I think, here, right? It's able to sense the depth here and show that as different colors on this. So the RealSense camera is able to use that to figure out when to stop because it sees something coming up on it. But there's more to this camera and more to this technology than just something like depth perception. So for example, if I go here in front of Bamboo and get kind of right up in Bamboo's face. See, here we go. Can you see me, Bamboo?
Yes. He can see you and sees that you're happy.
No,
do a funny face, Pete. Everybody's waiting for that. Very good. Picture. This is perfect.
Excellent. Great. And so that RealSense camera is then taking that information and sending that up to cognitive services to do emotion detection. So we have something powerful enough here on the client that's able to do all that local processing, but it's really the power up in the cloud that is giving us that information in the back that says, hey, Pete's actually happy or sad or anything like that. And you think about how you could use this in a real world scenario, and we've already been talking with other partners about cool ways to use this type of technology. Now, there's one other thing with this. Giorgio had mentioned that everything you see up here on the screen is actually running on this IoT device, not on that PC. So one of the things that we're doing here is real-time Twitter sentiment to figure out if you're happy, sad, et cetera, based on the tweets that are up there.
Yes.
So very cool stuff.
And so what you're seeing here is real-time coming from Azure. And so you might think, like, what's going on behind the scenes? So I'll stop the app. Let me show you, like, what's actually happening in Azure right now. So let me bring the browser. And so I created basically four services in Azure to do just the last things that you just saw here for Bamboo. First, I created an IoT app that allows me to connect with multiple devices. In this case, I have just one device. Secondly, I created cognitive services, which allows me to analyze the tweets. So I'm actually reading tweets from the hashtag DevIntersection, looking at your sentiment on the tweet, on the text, and then translating it into like a number that we use to plot that graph. And then I'm doing all the logic inside a logic app and a function app. Here's how the logic app works. This is actually very, very powerful. I have a rule set up that says when there is a new tweet posted, and I'm using, like, I'm scanning every 15 seconds interval, then send that with a simple post request to my cognitive services that I just told you about. And I'm sending, like, a specific header with my key, and I'm sending in the body, basically, the content of my tweet. And then the result coming from cognitive services, I'm sending it to the HTTP webhook. And so this is going to my Azure function, where I'm basically registering the Azure function and I'm sending the content there. So let me jump now into the Azure function. What the Azure function does, it connects to the IoT app, so it's just getting the key from my for my settings. It's creating a string, and then this is just like a Node.js server, right? So it's connecting with the client, it's creating like a new client connection to Azure IoT Hub, and from there it's sending my my message. So I extrapolated the score from 0 to 1 from my tweet. I'm sending it through, I'm basically putting in the queue for Azure IoT Hub, and then Azure IoT Hub take that queue and it just flush it against the device. And that's why you are seeing the device showing different graph and changing colors based on the sentiment. So that's how it works behind the scenes. This is all possible today. Thank you. Now, the team working on this project worked quite hard on it. And actually, we got a lot together, from the mechanics to the logic of the app to the cloud services. And so we thought that today we're going to open source all of the code from the client to the cloud of this robot. And so you'll find link at the previous URL that I provided, where you find all of the source code on GitHub that basically tells you how to build the end-to-end solution for this. All right, so we talk about many scenarios. We cover augmented reality. We cover customer support with bots. We cover web. We cover LOB applications. We cover robots. There is one more scenario that I wanted to cover. And I couldn't find a better way to describe this other than just saying it's magic. Now, I have to warn you, this last demo, it's extremely risky. It's one of those things that, it will go wrong. But I don't care. I thought I wanted to take the risk with you tonight. So I'm going to try my best and see how it goes. So what I have here, it's a Surface Pro. So I have just a Surface Pro on top of this stand. And what you see here is the video output from the Surface Pro. The scenario is, what if, imagine like we could use technology to augment everyday life. And I'm taking like a life of a professionist. I'm taking the life of a director of orchestra. And you know what the director of orchestra does, right? He uses gesture, his hands, to direct an orchestra. Well, what if that orchestra was actually a virtual orchestra? What if, like, how can we enable that director of orchestra to continue to do what he does great, just using his hands? So that's what I'm going to try to do now. I'm going to launch the app. I need silence for this, and also some prey. Let's give it some time. Notice what happened when I move my hand up. And actually, I need this. Ready? The music starts. Well, what if I want to bring the strings? And there you go with the strings. Let's play some trumpet. I think this is fake. Actually, this is all real code. Ready? There you go. What if I want to bring the volume down? Or I want to bring the volume up? Magic.
I can trade. I can switch it over to him at that point. We're supposed to have another one for him today.
Now, you might think, where is the trick? You might think that the trick is that the app is magic. Yes, it is. You might think that this stick is actually the trick. I can't stop this. I told you, it's live code. This is not fake. So this stick is the trick? No, actually, no. It turns out this is just the chopstick from last Chinese restaurant I ate at last night. It's used if anybody wants it, but it's not that. No, actually, the trick is how I'm combining technology that is so invisible that can even be wear. In this case, I have a wearable device. But think about taking any wearable device out there, connecting it to the power of the cloud, and that can turn into some real magic. And that's what we do, and that's what I inspire you to do. And so there is one video that I want to show you now that kind of like brings everything together, from what we saw with the client and the cloud, to deliver something that is truly transformational. So I'm going to roll this video.
I'm Saqib Sheikh. I lost my sight when I was 7. and shortly after that I went to a school. That's where I was introduced to talking computers, and that really opened up a whole new world of opportunities. I joined Microsoft 10 years ago as a software engineer. I love making things which improve people's lives. And one of the things I've always dreamt of since I was at university was this idea of something that could tell you at any moment what's going on around you.
I think it's a man jumping in the air doing a trick on a skateboard.
I teamed up with like-minded engineers to make an app which lets you know who and what is around you. It's based on top of the Microsoft Intelligence APIs, which makes it so much easier to make this kind of thing. The app runs on smartphones, but also on the Pivot Head smart glasses. When you're talking to a bigger group, sometimes you can talk and talk and there's no response and you think, is everyone listening really well? Or are they half asleep? And you never know.
I see two faces, 40-year-old man with a beard looking surprised. 20-year-old woman looking happy.
The app can describe the general age and gender of the people around me and what their emotions are, which is incredible. One of the things that's most useful about the app is the ability to read out text.
Hello, good afternoon. Here's your menu.
Great, thank you. I can use the app on my phone to take a picture of the menu, and it's going to guide me on how to take that correct photo.
Move camera to the bottom right and away from the document.
And then it'll recognize the text. Read me the headings.
I see appetizers, salads, paninis, pizzas, pastas.
Hi. Years ago, this was science fiction. I never thought it would be something that you could actually do. But artificial intelligence is improving at an ever faster rate. And I'm really excited to see where we can take this. As engineers, we're always standing on the shoulders of giants, building on top of what went before. And in this case, we've taken years of research from Microsoft Research to pull this off.
I think it's a young girl throwing an orange frisbee in the park.
For me, it's about taking that far-off dream and building it one step at a time. I think this is just the beginning.
You know, you're probably wondering, since the demo worked and now I'm doing magic, this is how I'm going to dress up for the rest of the year. Halloween is coming soon, luckily. So I actually had the pleasure to work with Saqib when I was in UK. He's an amazing talent. But I think this is just one example of what you can build with technology. Hopefully this inspires you. And I want to actually close with this sentence from Sir Arthur Clarke that says, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. Well, if then that is true, my ask to you tonight is go build magic. Thank you. All right, so we're going to share all the resources, the code that you saw of the demos today at this URL. So if you didn't take it earlier, just take a picture now. And I think, Pete, we also have the winner of the raffle here, right?
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
All right. So. Should we start with the first prize or the...
I think start with the small one.
The smaller one. It's good. Go ahead.
Well, except Scott can't win. See, he's already up here. He thinks he can win
and
a prize.
And the winner is Scott.
A seat at the table. There we go. Okay.
So we have three prizes that are $100 that you can use to buy anything you want at the Microsoft Store online and get it delivered to you, or you can do it here in the US if you want. And so I'm going to tell the three names. If they're in the room, you should come to see us in that corner at the end of Scott's keynote. So we don't want to interrupt Scott. So the first one is, David Roskopf. Say yes.
All right.
Yes, we have it. So at the end of Scott's keynote, find us there in the corner. The second one, Cody Clayton. Yes.
Yeah.
Great. The third one, Emmanuel Ludman. All right. Thank you. Now for the big prize.
Drum roll, please.
Yeah, make some noise, Pete. You're good at this. Right, the big prize, Surface Pro 3, goes to Kevin. How many Kevin? There is one that raised the hand upper than everybody else. So it's Kevin Floyd. Yeah. Yes! Yes, all right. Thank you very much.
And thank you.
Richard, back to you.